Greetings of Christian love to everyone gathered here today. It's a blessing to be together, and it's a blessing also to share together and sing together and pray together and trust that God will continue to minister to our needs this morning. God is so good. He's so good to me. He's so good to us all. He is rich. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. What a mighty God we serve. And in his name we greet you this morning. Most of us here today know something about church life. Whether we are new in the faith or have many years been part of a church fellowship, we probably all have some perspective about brotherhood relationships. Some of us have had a variety of experiences and maybe been part of a different setting at some point or another. Whatever our past experiences are, or may have been, most of us have a desire to enjoy a peaceable church life and amiable brotherhood relationships. Most of us probably know that in church life there are things that work and there are some things that do not work. This morning I would like to speak about the subject, governing principles of brotherhood. Governing principles of brotherhood. Now you think about that title, the word governing. In a diesel engine, and probably to some degree on a gasoline engine, but in a diesel engine, it's very, very important that the governor is working. There's some of you that know that. And it's very important that the engine does not go above a certain speed, that it does not drop below a certain speed. And as a load is applied to an engine, a vehicle, that there has to be something that tells the machine to add more fuel to carry more load, that's called a governor. We know in government, local government, we have a governor in the state of Pennsylvania. Someone that kind of oversees the state affairs. He's responsible to people above him. But in the state, he is probably considered one of the higher authorities. And when it comes to legislation and so on, it kind of goes through his hands in some way or another. What's allowed and what's not allowed, and what plans are made, and how money is spent, tax dollars and so on. But what about governing principles in brotherhood? There are things that need to be in place, some basics that have to stand and have to be established and clearly established if brotherhood will ever function. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Jesus so very clearly says, verses that I'm sure most of us could quote by heart, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That verse 35, that's John 13:35, that verse always has impressed me because it makes it very clear that one of the ways that people in our surroundings can know that we are Jesus' disciples is by the love that we have one for another. And sometimes it's something I think we forget, or maybe we take it for granted. But it's a real thing, brotherly love. So when we think about these governing principles of brotherhood, We already heard in Sunday school class this morning that the foundational part of the greatest of the principles is love, charity. As we read in 1 Corinthians 13, that was already mentioned here in the adult class. My plan this morning is to read a number of scriptures, and I just want the Spirit of God to touch our hearts through His Word so that we may be inspired by it. And then we want to summarize the reading of the Word with some practical points that I believe God would have us to keep in mind if we would want to develop and maintain a healthy brotherhood. There's a number of subjects that are on my mind regarding church life and brotherhood, and this is one of them. And I don't know how far we'll get with this and what all God might have for us in the days ahead, but I do want to read some scripture this morning. And I just would like us to follow along. I plan to read slowly. Brother Lauren read us a chapter this morning, and I just was thinking it seems like it's God's will this morning we just listen to the Word, because the Word speaks. And it speaks to my heart, and it speaks to anyone who is alive spiritually, and it speaks even to the sinner, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we hear God's Word, it should have effect in your heart and mine. I'd like to start with Psalm 15. As we think about governing principles of brotherhood, and the passages that I plan to read this morning speak specifically about brotherhood dynamics and what works and what doesn't work, and God gives a lot of commandments in the Scripture about what works and what does not, and how we should relate to one another in church life. And I find this interesting that in an Old Testament setting, God holds forth such ideals. I know that I've read this passage before, probably in some devotional, maybe in some other occasion, but I felt led to read it again this morning. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. If you were to just take that passage right there, and even in from an Old Testament context, and start thinking about how honest is my life. Do I speak the truth verbally? Do I speak the truth in my heart? What do I say about my neighbor? What do I say about my brethren in their absence? How do I talk about them? Do I honor them that fear the Lord? And then it touches the wallet. And rewards and that type of thing. I'd like to go now to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Thinking about governing principles of brotherhood, I want to read from verse 3 till the end of the chapter. I invite you to follow along. Let's just let God's Spirit speak to us this morning through these verses. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You can turn back a page further, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and I just want to pull out verses in Romans 14. Talking, there's a lot being addressed here. He that is weak in the faith, this is verse 1, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let him that eateth despise him. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that... I'm getting confused here. I have trouble reading sometimes, and I'm in that right now. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God that hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. For whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. There's more teaching there. I want to go in now to the beginning of chapter 15. It says, We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of teaching there, and I honestly confess that I don't understand everything there in Romans 14. There's a lot there that I wish I knew better. But there's a few things there that really stand out to me. But that whole context there has to do with my relationship with other people in church brotherhood. Even with different fellowships, possibly. I don't know how broad or how wide that range goes, but there's things there for us to meditate on. I'd like to go now to the book of Philippians and just read a few verses in chapter 2. I think I'll just read the first verse through the fourth verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Colossians chapter 3. I know that some of these verses you probably know by heart. I know that some of these verses are very well known to some of you. But these verses, although they have been written many years ago, still mean what they say, and they mean what they say today. and they mean what they say for you and I to obey, incidentally. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I'd like to take a moment here to write down a few things on the board, just the seven principles that I've chosen out of the passages that we have read, that I believe, although the list is not all-inclusive, I think they are governing principles by which a brotherhood needs to operate. Honesty. It is a big word. And it is a governing principle in brotherhood. Honesty in what we say. We read in several passages the idea of backbiting. The idea of getting back on somebody. Lashing out with our tongue against someone. We need to be very, very careful about that. Because it is a temptation that I face. It is possibly a temptation that you face. To use our tongue in such a way to speak bad about someone. Brother Lauren last Sunday spoke to us about gossiping. Honesty. You know, if you have something to say to any brother or any sister sitting here today, or any brother or sister that you work with, something negative, something by way of correction perhaps, if you have that to say, it is much, much better to, in a prayerful and considerate way, go to that person and tell them straight to their face what you think, or what you feel, or the question you have about their life. It is much better to do that than to go around and around talking to this one, to that one, until that person finally hears by way of the grapevine whatever you said about them. Honesty. Just simply saying in an honest and kind way. It is a whole lot better than doing, as we say in the Spanish language, tirando una piedra y escondiendo la mano, which means that I throw a stone and I quickly hide my hand. I wonder where that stone flew from. I don't have any idea. But all too many times, people do that. They throw a stone and someone gets hit. Ooh, strange. Stones flew suddenly. But if that stone hit you, you know it hit. If those words came around and hit you, you know where it came from. It is so much better to be honest, straightforward. If I've learned anything from the culture that my wife grew up in, it is exactly that. If her brothers between themselves have a little discrepancy, it is right here. They say it square up. They say it just the way they feel it. And 5 minutes later, the relationship is just as warm and as brotherly as it could have ever been before. But in the moment, it was said, he said, one to another, and that's the way that culture operates. And it's a good thing if that's the way we operate. In a kind way, straightforward, and yet we know where we're at, we said what we needed to, but that is so much better than going around and around and around. And by way of the grapevine, finally somebody heard what somebody else said. And you know what? It's like whisper down the alley. It's about a guarantee. If any one of you would start a little rumor at the one end of your bench and pass it to the other end, you know how that game goes. That's the way it is in the grapevine. Facts and figures are distorted, twisted, out of shape, upside down, and who knows whatever all. But if it would have been said honestly and squarely, face to face, in the spirit of Jesus, a lot less damage could have been done. And then honesty in financial dealings. Honesty in our financial dealings, whether that is with our neighbors, when we buy gas, when we buy groceries. You know, some people don't hardly know what to do with honesty anymore because it's so uncommon. But the Bible still says, in one of the scriptures we read, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And I think that has a lot to do with the way we relate to people and the way we deal with our money. Mutual respect. We respect each other. Respect each other's convictions. Some of that was touched in the Sunday school class this morning. There are some people that have different convictions than other ones do. Some practices vary sometimes in church fellowship. And whenever we think that our practice or our way of looking at this situation is superior to our brother's, and when he begins to get the idea that his is inferior to ours, that's where problems begin, if there's not mutual respect. Mutual respect when correction is necessary. The Matthew 18 principle still means what it says. It says very clearly how we should do things. For lack of time, I'm not going to go there to read that, but whenever we think about mutual respect, going in an attitude of respect and honor to a brother or a sister, and whenever that respect is mutual, it's such a blessing. Respect for another's gift and calling. We read that in Romans chapter 12. And there are some that have the gift of prophecy or teaching. Some have the gift of giving. Others have the gift of administrating. And we mutually respect another's gifts and callings. We need to. We must. It's a governing principle by which brotherhood operates. Mutual respect. Follow the golden rule. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mutual respect. One for another. Do not sow discord. How would it be, parents, if every time that you decided you're going to do this or do that, you would find out that someone was talking to your children about how stupid this idea really is and how crazy? What do you mean you don't do this or do that? What kind of an idea? No. That would be like sowing discord in your family, right? We would not appreciate that, but mutual respect is so important. And in the brotherhood, we may not sow discord. It is an abomination to God. Mutual respect. Care one for another. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. One way that it can be proven how much we care for anyone in our fellowship is by how much we pray for them. A measure of our care for one another is our prayer for one another. Think about that. And it is a wonderful thing when that care is expressed and we appreciate and give words of compliment and blessing along the way. Every one of us at some point needs a word of encouragement. Every one of us benefits from that. Our children benefit from that. We need to live that way. Children, parents, spouses, older singles, older seniors all benefit from knowing someone cares for them. Mutual assistance. Governing principles of brotherhood. Back around 1988, about 2 o'clock in the morning, a bishop brother friend of mine woke up in a state miles and miles from here, looked out his window, maybe 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and noticed that his dairy barn was in flames. Very traumatic thing for a dairy farmer to see your barn burning. By 4 o'clock that morning, every one of the dairy cows was in other farms in the community, and they're being milked by the milking time that morning. By evening that very day, the skid loaders and the excavators had cleaned that barn down to a concrete foundation, the pad ready to start all over again. That kind of thing right there doesn't happen just everywhere. And it is a powerful testimony to anyone that looks on. And the cows continued to be milked out there. The family was able to regroup and make their plans and what they were going to do from here away. But that thing of mutual assistance is a powerful testimony. And let's never, ever forget it. The whole thing of brotherhood assistance offerings. Brother Lauren is talking about to us about that this morning. To help with someone else's hospital expenses or accident or loss of property. That is something very powerful, and it's one of the characteristics by which God's people are known and recognized. We need each other in events of sickness and death. I am told, I have no way to prove it, but I am told in the Amish community, when there is a death and that family has a farm project, they don't touch their chores for 1 week of time so the family can be together and dedicated to the grieving that's going on. I don't know if that's true or not. I've never proved it. I never asked anybody, but I'm told that. At least historically, it was that way. Number 5, brotherly love. Brotherly love. Let love be, the Bible says, without dissimulation. You know what dissimulation is? In Spanish, that word is used a lot. Dissimulation is when I can greet Brother Lauren all smiles and, God bless you, brother, it's nice to see you today. It looks really good. But when I go home from church, just talking, just kind of complaining in a wrong spirit that really quickly catches on with the children and the family when they know that I can, in front of the person, be such a all smiles and God bless and all of that, but a backbite. That's dissimulation. And God forbid that that happens. Because when that happens, a governing principle brotherhood falls flat to the ground. Brotherly love. It's a big subject. But brotherly love is a very, very foundational point of brotherhood. Remember, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Number 6, peaceable relationships. Peaceable relationships. And I don't know all the ramifications of peaceful relationships, but I do know one thing. The Bible still says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I know the Bible teaches that we should be quick to forgive, because right in there, if one is hardly can admit anything that he ever did wrong, and someone can hardly find a way to forgive, and if those stones that were thrown and someone finally comes back and confesses it and is never made right, and relationships deteriorate very rapidly, if we forget that thing of keeping peaceable relationships, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And to me, brotherly love and peaceable relationships are essential points for passing on the faith. Essential points for passing on the faith to a coming generation is when there's brotherly love and when there's peaceable relationships. Because the worst thing that can happen in church life is when peaceable relationships tumble down and brotherly love is lost. And yet the thing that God has ordained to be such a testimony in the world, when that testimony is gone, we have very little to give and pass on to a rising generation. Essential points for passing on the faith: brotherly love and peaceable relationships. And finally, humility. Looking at the verses that we read, it says, let each esteem other better than himself. Mind not high things, but condescend, it says, to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, like my opinion's better than everyone else's. No. Humility. Walk in humility. It's a governing principle in brotherhood. It's what makes or breaks relationships sometimes. Humble thyself to walk with God, the songwriter says. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humility, so important. I know that there's a lot more that could be said. And the verses we read have a lot of teaching in them. Maybe some more meditations of your own can be come forth from a sermon like this. But to me, those 7 points are very important. And they're just like a governing body, just like a governor on an engine that controls and regulates, just like the governor in the state. They are principles by which the church can operate and function. And if it is absent, there's a lot of chaos and disorder. May God help us to this end.